Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots, off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, good save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal! It's Tomas Hertl, his first goal of the night!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215. Home of the
Woo!
Chapman is here.
What, the air conditioning working in our studio?
I'm your good luck charm there.
Apparently so, yeah.
This is a comfortable, comfortable studio right now.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice studio today.
You didn't have to, like, turn a fan on.
Nope.
We don't have that pumping in the background. You didn't miss the woo.
No, because I was adjusting the fan to stay cool.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about the temperature in the studio. I was talking about the Stanley Cup Final. It's here. We're in it. Finally.
Yeah, it took us only 17 years to get here, but game one in the books.
It's like that Titanic meme, right? It took forever to get here. We're in it, though,
yeah.
And I'm excited about that. We've got a lot coming at you over the next 2 hours. We're going to talk a little Four Nations face-off. That was formally announced over the weekend. Gary Bettman, Bill Daly, they had kind of their media availability prior to the start of the Stanley Cup Final. Some tidbits, some nuggets from that press conference will show up in one-timers, as well as some notes on goaltenders, Chris Chapman's favorite topic. When we get to one-timers a little bit later on, we're also going to dig into perhaps a new tradition in the National Hockey League. I'm curious to see how people feel about it, how they felt about it in game one, and whether or not they want to see it moving forward. We'll talk about that in hour number two. But right now, because we have hockey to talk about, Chapman.
Yes.
I feel like it only makes sense to start off with great observations.
Great observation.
Thanks, Leon. I appreciate that. So we started this a couple of weeks ago, conference finals, thereabouts, where we're going to take our best observations from the previous game. So we'll do it after game two, after game three, four, all that. But I enjoy this because every single game, every single moment of this great observation series is going to be a snapshot of what just happened. And we've got one game to talk about. It was a fantastic performance from Sergei Bobrovsky in a 3-0 shutout of the Edmonton Oilers. The Florida Panthers are now 3 wins away from winning their first ever Stanley Cup in franchise history. And I don't think that Sergei Bobrovsky could play any better than he played in game number one. But I guess the argument is, does he have to? And this brings me to my first great observation. Sergei Bobrovsky is without a doubt, unquestioned right now in this moment, the favorite for the Conn Smythe Trophy. He just is. There's no way around it. You look at the performance that he had in game one, he was unbeatable. There were 3-4 breakaway opportunities. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had a great chance. Matthias Janmark had a great chance. Connor McDavid had plenty of opportunities, and yet it was just Bobrovsky going off. He was dialed in. He was the Panthers' best player without question. And when you look at the fact that Sasha Barkov had a pretty good game, a couple of points for the captain, tied now in overall playoff scoring with Matthew Tkachuk for the Florida Panthers. But you don't really have anybody as far as the forwards, as far as the defensemen, setting themselves apart the way that Sergei Bobrovsky did in game number one. So it's that and that alone that my first great observation coming out of game one of the Stanley Cup Final, Sergei Bobrovsky, Conn Smythe favorite.
Great observation.
Thanks, Leon. So we're going to slide over to Chapman.
All right. Well, I'm going to stick with the Bobrovsky theme here. And I will say that his fellow countryman, Andrei Vasilevskiy, has handed the torch to Sergei Bobrovsky as the best big game playoff goalie in the NHL right now. You look at what he's done the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. He has been the best goalie in the playoffs the last two seasons. I know it didn't end well for him in Vegas. I don't think it would have ended well for anybody last year when they took on the Golden Knights. But the last 12 games that Sergei Bobrovsky has played in the playoffs, he has allowed two or fewer goals in 11 of the 10. Yes, absolutely. Conn Smythe favorite. Or what is it? 11 of the 12, not 11 of the 10. 11 of the 12 last playoff games, he's allowed two or fewer goals. The Florida Panthers right now are where they are because of Sergei Bobrovsky. And I don't know what it is in the water in Florida with goalies, but when we get to the playoffs, if you're a Russian goalie, you're stepping up and you are leading your team. And Sergei Bobrovsky has led the Florida Panthers to newfound heights the last few years. And he is the reason why they are on the verge, three wins away from their very first Stanley Cup championship. And, I mean, it's incredible. The way he played on Saturday night, like, the funny thing is, I don't even think he was spectacular. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason to think that he's not going to continue to play like that.
Well, I don't think he has to play better, but he can certainly maintain that level of excellence, right?
Yes. Like, there was a sequence in the second period when Edmonton was on the power play about 8 minutes to go. You can go back and look, and you could pull it up and watch. Mm-hmm. They should have scored like three goals.
Yep.
On that one sequence.
That's the two-pad stack, the breakdance.
There was the one play, and I don't know if he actually saved it or if it went high, but there was a moment where had he saved that puck, it might have been the greatest save in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup final. How quickly he got over, way – I like you refer to it as breakdance because that's pretty much what it was.
Yep.
Like, it was a breakdance move. I don't think he saved it. I think it went high. But for the sake of the conversation and for the sake of great observations, I'm going to say he saved it. Phenomenal, phenomenal job.
Great observation.
Leon, you're too kind. You really are. All right, so I'm going to be a little unkind to the Edmonton Oilers, and in particular two players that simply cannot play together the rest of the way. There are potentially six more games left in the Stanley Cup final. The Edmonton Oilers simply cannot. They cannot go back to the pair of Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci. They just can't do it. They can't do it.
They don't got to worry about one of those guys tonight.
Darnell Nurse is a minus 15 in the playoffs. A minus 15. And we talked about it on Friday going into this series. Darnell Nurse has to be good for the Edmonton Oilers to win. Because when he's good, things work out well. When he's bad, it goes really bad. And I don't really understand the line of thinking from Chris Knobloch and Paul Coffey going back to this pair for game one. But it didn't work. They were both a minus two in the game. The second goal for the Panthers, Cody Ceci gets beaten to a puck by Sam Bennett, muscled off the puck. It's a one-hand backhand pass to the slot to Evan Rodriguez. And Darnell Nurse doesn't even have his stick on the ice. It's fundamentals. It's quite frankly the details of the game that you need to have in order to win in the Stanley Cup final, and it wasn't there for either one of those guys. Now, as you mentioned, Chapman, Chris Knobloch recognizes the error of his ways. Vinny Desharnais is expected to play today with Darnell Nurse, and Cody Ceci will be a healthy scratch. But for the sake of the Edmonton Oilers, for the sake of the Stanley Cup final, and wanting to see this series go six, seven games deep, the Edmonton Oilers, this is my observation, simply cannot go back to Nurse and Ceci as a pair.
Great observation.
Aw, thanks, Leon.
All right, so on Friday, you and I, we went through the most important players that aren't the superstar players. You know, we obviously wouldn't include Sasha Barkov or Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid in this mix. We were talking primarily role players.
Yeah.
What I picked up from game one is there is no more important role player on the ice for either team than Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett is a bastard, and I love it. I love Sam Bennett because
he's awesome.
He is not only capable of providing a point when he needs to, which he did the other night. He had the primary assist on.
It was a hell of a play.
Yeah, he had the primary assist on the Evan Rodriguez goal. But he's out there laying the wood. Like, he put McDavid on his ass at one point. I think that's why McDavid had the bandage on his face. Okay, I think it was Bennett hit.
Can we talk about that Band-Aid for a minute?
It was so bad. What are we doing?
We're in the Stanley Cup final. The dude's got a massive beard, and that's the best we can do in terms of bandaging up a cut? Like, seriously?
It's like something you'd get at the school nurse when you were, like, in third grade. You fell and scraped. Like, that bandage would have been better on his knee. That's how big it was. It was like a parachute on his face.
What was that?
But Sam Bennett is if he's engaged and he is active and he is stirring up trouble, the Florida Panthers are going to win because I don't think Edmonton has an answer for a guy like Sam Bennett. Like, they don't have their own Sam Bennett, and maybe Desharnais could be that guy, but I don't think Desharnais is as skilled as Sam Bennett. Like Desharnais, he is what he is. He's not a highly skilled guy.
Their foil to Sam Bennett is Evander Kane.
And he's
injured.
Yeah, well, I was you're a lot more nice than I was.
I'm telling you, he's injured.
He's also not good.
Well, that's fine. Like, we can argue his effectiveness as a player all we want to, but he's hampered.
Yeah, he's hernia?
He's not practicing. He's only playing the games, and he's only giving you some minutes here and there when he can.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, the Edmonton Oilers need to make a decision on Evander Kane and soon. Because if he can't give you what you need out of him,
why is he in there?
You got to put somebody else in there that can. But he's injured.
Yeah. So you don't have that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. Maybe Edmonton figures out a way to keep him quiet. But, man, he was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of everything. And you know what? We got one half of our Swedish tables, ladders, and chairs match because we had OEL and Mattias Janmark both mixing it up at one point. And it was kind of fun. But Sam Bennett, the most important player who's not a superstar in this series.
Great observation.
All right, Leon, you're going to be mad at me. I want you to know that we've come a long way from why you so pissy.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
We've come a long way from there. To be honest, like, first half of the playoffs, Leon, I was singing your praises. Leon, I was saying to the hockey world, to anybody that would listen, that you were the Edmonton Oilers' best player. You were the front runner for the Conn Smythe. That if you got to this stage, it's a no-brainer that you're the guy. And then, over the last six playoff games, you've given me a goal and two assists and 3 points, and that's it. We talked about how balance has to happen for the Edmonton Oilers in this series. We talked about how a big reason why the Oilers were able to get by the Dallas Stars is because Chris Knobloch didn't have to go to Dreisaitl, McDavid, and Hyman as his number one line. That he could play these two guys away from each other, and then Leon fell off a cliff. He is not effective at all. Now, there are little plays, defensive plays that he's making, and I applaud you. I do, Leon. I really do. But you have to get going. You have to get going. Because if Leon Dreisaitl is only giving you 3 points over six games the rest of the way, if you only get 3 points out of Leon Dreisaitl in this series, the Oilers aren't winning. And so my biggest observation when it comes to Edmonton offensively, if you want to prevent what they had to do in game number one in the third period, and that is load up your top line at the expense of the depth you tried to create and rely on in the Western Conference Final, Leon Dreisaitl has to be a threat. He hasn't been a threat in about a playoff round. That's not going to get it done. Leon, you got to be better.
Great observation.
All right. I feel like this has kind of been a Panthers love fest, but I'm gonna nitpick here. They need to generate more offense. They only had 18 shots, and I understand they won the game. Scored
three goals.
Three goals on 18 shots, but I feel like you're not going to shut out the Edmonton Oilers three more times in this series. So I feel going forward, you need to find a way to create more scoring opportunities. Why? Because Stuart Skinner wasn't very good. Like, he was okay.
He wasn't bad.
But he wasn't. But
okay, look at the goals that they scored.
Well, he had no shot on either one of them.
So you've got a 3-on-2 that the Panthers effectively turn into 2 2-on-1s. McDavid doesn't... He stops skating at the blue line on a back check in the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. Like, it's unacceptable. Call it what it is. It's unacceptable. And it's a great pass from Barkov. It's a great handle by Verhaeghe, but there's no real chance there for Skinner unless the puck hits him or Verhaeghe messes up the shot. Yeah. He didn't do that.
And he could have messed it up because the pass was a little choppy.
And then look at the second one. Sam Bennett gets around Cody Ceci, muscles him off the puck, one hand on the stick, puts it out in front to Evan Rodriguez alone in the slot because Darnell Nurse doesn't have a stick on the ice. Yeah. Like, they created great looks, and it's all they needed. Like, I understand what you're saying, but the Panthers effectively got the looks that they wanted, and it wasn't about quantity, it was about quality, and they had two great A's that they scored on.
I'm just looking at it from the perspective that Bobrovsky was incredible.
Yes.
And because Edmonton had a lot of scoring opportunities, and Bobrovsky was sound every single time. So I don't know if you're going to get that shutout. You may not get another shutout.
No.
And Edmonton's not going to be, they're not going to be shut down. They're going to find ways to score. They'll make adjustments. They're going to find ways to score. So if you're the Panthers, I don't know if it was a case of rust, or if it was, we're okay playing this game. But I think that they are going to need to find a way to create more scoring opportunities. And they're going to have to put more pucks in the net because I don't think you're going to be able to win every game essentially 2-0.
Mm-hmm. Great observation.
All right. I think the Panthers are going to be fine in that regard. But my biggest observation coming out of game one is that in our preview of this series, we didn't give the Panthers penalty kill enough credit.
You know, I was going to say that.
We didn't. Yeah. Like, they've killed off 35 of 37.
They've been really damn good.
And that goes back to round one against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They allowed exactly one power play goal against to the Boston Bruins and one power play goal against to the New York Rangers. That's it. That's what they've been able to do since game five of the first round. It's wild. 35 of 37. They've only allowed two power play goals in over a month of hockey.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And listen, rightfully so, when you have an Oilers penalty kill that's like historic, it's hard to really pump the tires of the Florida Panthers penalty kill, but we got that wrong going into the series. Their penalty kill has been elite, elite, elite for the majority of this playoff run. And while we pumped the tires of the Oilers' power play a lot, I don't think we gave enough credit to the Panthers and what they've been able to do on the kill so far through the playoffs. That is a
great observation.
You know, I'm going to piggyback on that because that's one of mine as well.
Yeah.
Certainly Edmonton's penalty kill deserves all the credit that we've given them. It was at 93% coming in, and they killed, I think, two penalties on Saturday night as well. But when you look at the amount of penalties that the Florida Panthers take compared to the amount of penalties that the Edmonton Oilers have taken, I think you could make the case that as good as Edmonton's has been, Florida's has been better because they've just had to kill more penalties. And it's not like they were at 70% or 77%. They were at 88% going into the final. So it's not like the numbers were that drastically different, but it was impressive. And I thought they did a tremendous job. Like, I never really felt outside of that one sequence where they probably could have scored two or three goals. Mm-hmm. I never really felt like their power play was a threat to score watching that game. Like, Florida seems to do all the right things on the kill, and it's a big reason why they are here. It's certainly helped by the fact that you've got an elite goalie in Sergei Bobrovsky. I can't believe like, 2 years ago, he wasn't even starting. Alex Lyon got the start, I think, in the first two games for them. And now we're talking about him as a Conn Smythe winner, potentially. So, yeah, it's a big part of the kill, having that great goalie. But, man, they do a lot of right things. When you watch them, they block all the they clog all the lanes. They don't give you any good looks. Mm-hmm. They're really damn good. They're really damn good on the PK. And I think it starts with Sasha Barkov, who is an incredible two-way forward. And then you've got the best penalty killer that you could ask for in Sergei Bobrovsky.
Great observation.
Okay, so this one is a little bit more fun. It's not as serious.
We all like fun.
Well, some of us do, anyway. I think hockey gods might be real.
Yeah?
Like,
why do you say that?
You know how I feel about...
Should I call Millard up and get him on the phone so he can hear you say this?
Come on, buddy. You call Millard. He's not answering.
That's true. He's probably out on the cottage somewhere. And
what is it, like 7:30 p.m. his time?
Oh,
like,
he's probably had a couple beers. He's probably sitting down by the... Unless, they probably have like a campfire kind of thing going.
Unless he's just here. Like, he could
just
be
what?
Here.
You know what? He put a picture on his Instagram of him by the pool the other day.
Yeah. It's possible.
It's entirely possible.
But anyway, like, he's not answering.
No.
He's going to see Chris Chapman. He's just going to
like, why is Chapman calling me? I'm not answering.
Put it right on mute.
I'm throwing that phone in the lake. I'm not answering that.
But everyone knows how I feel about the hockey gods. Everyone knows how I feel about jinxes. Reverse jinxes. Shout out Rita. But
jerseys.
I think the hockey gods might be real. Because the Florida Panthers did to the Edmonton Oilers what the Edmonton Oilers did to the Dallas Stars in Game 6 of the Western Conference Final. Like, it goes back to what you were talking about. Florida needs to generate more. I agree with that to an extent. Now, they created some great looks. They had two goals on essentially 10 shots, which is exactly what the Oilers did to Dallas. And it got to a point where after the game, Connor McDavid flat out said, maybe the hockey gods paid us back after we won Game 6 and didn't deserve it. Two things I like about that. One, Connor McDavid self-aware. Connor McDavid recognized that they won Game 6 not because they were the better team in that game, but because their goaltender stole one and they got the job done on the power play. Second thing I like about it is Connor's kind of letting off a little bit of steam with a joke. And oftentimes we sit there and we talk about Connor McDavid as being a robot, right?
Right.
He's not going to be the guy that gives you the soundbite. He's not going to be the guy that gives you the funny moment, chuckle, ha ha. And like, I listened to it. He wasn't trying to be outwardly funny, but I think that there's a little bit of like letting off some steam in that moment and saying, you know what? Like, we've had games where we've been on the right side of this. We had a game where we're on the wrong side of it, but we can't change anything. We've just got to go back to work. And so I think the hockey gods are real for two reasons. One, it's just funny that it happened to the Oilers. And two, Connor McDavid has a sense of humor. Only the hockey gods could do that.
I think you're probably right on that one. It's really a funny soundbite from him, but more importantly, it's a
great observation.
Thanks, Leon.
All right, last one for me. The Edmonton Oilers are going to be okay.
Okay. You firmly believe this, huh?
I think they'll play better. I think they will find a way to score more goals tonight. I think they'll make the adjustments on the blue line that they need to make.
They outshot Florida 25-10 through two periods.
Yeah.
You think they're going to be much better than that?
I don't know if they're going to be better than that shooting-wise, but I think they're going to find ways to put some of those shots in the net, which is obviously the most important thing. I mean, you could have 75 shots, and if you don't score, it doesn't really matter how many shots you have. But I think they're going to find ways to create better scoring chances, and I think they're going to find a way to put a couple pucks in the net. I think somebody's going to step up for them. Because it can't be McDavid.
Well, it's going to have to be McDavid.
Well, it's going to have to be someone else as well.
Draisaitl.
Well.
Has to be Draisaitl.
I I think given his track record on the second half of the playoffs the last couple of seasons, I'm starting to wonder if it's not going to be Draisaitl, and maybe it'll have to be Hyman or Nugent Hopkins, but or Bouchard.
Well, like,
you know what?
You're not being very convincing right now. Like, your observation is the Oilers are going to be fine.
Well, I just
everything's
think...
fine. There's the fire around me is not burning down this entire studio.
Listen,
and
they
and
could...
yet you're sitting there like, eh, somebody like maybe McDavid, RNH,
here's the thing.
Maybe Zach Hyman.
They could lose tonight.
Yeah,
and I think they'll still be okay. When they lose a game in Edmonton, that's where I start to worry, especially if they lose tonight.
So you think if they lose tonight, you like their ability, you like their prospects of winning 4 out of 5 against Florida?
No, I think what I'm saying is they still have a chance. If they lose tonight, but the thing is they could go out and win tonight and everything
is a moot
point.
You're right.
So
I'm just saying, like, for someone that's like, yeah, they're going to be fine.
No, I think they will be. They found ways in every series.
You're not inspiring a ton of confidence.
They were down.
Right now.
Look, they were down 2-1 to Dallas, and they were losing game 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
And they found it, and they came back, and they crushed the Dallas Stars after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dallas is every bit as good as Florida. So I don't think the panic button will be hit. Even if they lose tonight, I don't think they're going to panic. I think they'll be okay. I think they're going to make it a series.
You still think they're going to win the series?
I still think they're going to win the series, yeah.
What'd you say, 6 games?
I said they're not winning it in 6.
I think
if they win it, they're going to have to win it in 7.
Okay.
Because I think what I saw, I think it's going to be very – each game is going to be unbelievably close, and every game is going to be pins and needles. And I think it's going to be one of those where it might just come down to a game 7.
Chris Chapman. Still incredibly invested in the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah. I have to be. I picked them to win. I mean, it's only one game.
Just lean into the reverse jinx, buddy.
No, there's no
That's
such
all you
thing.
Do.
There's no such thing. I can't go back on it now.
Didn't you just hear me?
I did hear you.
My observation.
Yeah.
Hockey gods are real. Jinxes are real. It's a real thing.
I'm sure some people are texting in saying that they're unhappy with you.
Well, that's fine. If you've got a great observation from game number 1, text in 702-876-1340. We'll hit some of your reactions, as well as the Four Nation face-off. That's next on the VGK Insider Show. What was that? What was that at the end? What happened there?
That was the rejoin
that
would normally play, but
okay.
Yeah, I caught it. So.
Well, anyway, that. So what about Bob?
What about Bob?
That's a great movie, by the way.
Anything Bill Murray does is great. Like, it's hard to find a Bill Murray movie where you're like, that kind of stunk.
That's one of my favorites.
What about Bob?
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, I mean, it just made sense. You come back with a bunch of Sergei Bobrovsky saves. We go to What About Bob? It's low-hanging fruit, for sure.
Yes.
But it makes a lot of sense. How often do we get to throw Bill Murray on the show?
I don't feel like we do it enough.
Not often enough,
yeah.
No, for
like,
sure.
Like, I've got 2 Bill Murray stories.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, UConn, University of Connecticut, actually they're kind of in the news again because their coach decided he was not going to go coach the Lakers. But Bill Murray's son, I don't know if he still is, but he was an assistant coach on the UConn men's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Murray was here in Vegas when UConn played in the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8. So I'm down on the floor and I get a tap on my shoulder and it was Bill Murray.
Hmm.
Asking me if I could charge his phone. His phone was dead, and at the table there were plugs for your iPhone, and so Bill Murray asked if I could plug his phone in and charge it. I said, sure. I'm not going to say no to Bill Murray.
Right.
And then I guess it was about 25 years ago. It was a long time ago. Like, I had just moved to Vegas, and we were out at Sunset Station. And there was a really good oyster bar at Sunset Station. And I'm eating dinner with my dad and my stepmother. And Bill Murray walks in.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray at Sunset Station.
Right.
And he sits down at the bar and he's having, dinner or whatever. And my dad, God rest his soul, I have no idea what he was thinking. He walks over to him and he says, "Are you Bill Murray?" And Bill Murray looks at him with a straight face. And he goes, "No." It was clearly Bill Murray. My dad's like, he says he's not him. I'm like, Dad, that's Bill Murray.
That's exactly what Bill Murray would say to you.
Come on,
Dad.
Yeah. Like, are you Bill Murray? I wish he was here. I wish my dad was still alive so I could call him and give him a hard time about that. Yeah, hey, Dad, funny. Remember the time you walked up to Bill Murray and asked him if he was Bill Murray? So, like, that's the last thing you do.
So you charged his phone?
Yes, yeah.
Did you, like,
no.
check
no.
the screensaver or anything
he
like
was,
that?
He was pretty very close to the floor. Mm-hmm. So if I was to, like, start trying to scroll through his phone,
yeah, well,
I'm sure he would have been like, hey, guy, what the hell are you doing?
I'd have asked him if I could call the Ghostbusters.
Oh, you know what?
It's what you should have done.
Someone in who was next to me said, you know, you should have had him, like, take a selfie with you.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm like, first of all, media credential says no selfies, no pictures. I don't
but
know if that extends.
That can't extend to, like, an actor, right?
Or a fan, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I would have liked clarification on that, right?
Take your credential off. Like, don't have your credential
that's
on
a fair
in the
point.
Selfie.
Yeah, like, that's a fair
like,
point.
Like, you're not walking up to a basketball player or a hockey player or anything like that
right.
with your credential on
that's
saying,
a fair
hey,
point.
Let's get a selfie on the ice
yeah,
or,
because they're,
or on the court. Well, like, if you run into Bill Murray,
yeah.
come on.
Like,
absolutely.
There have been times like Martin Brodeur has been at T-Mobile Arena with the Devils, mm-hmm. and there have been like three times where I've said, you know, I'd really like to go up and see if I could take a picture with him. But he is a member of the Devils group.
That's different to me.
That is very different.
100%
yeah.
different to me.
Now, if Bill Murray is at a Golden Knights game and he rings the siren, mm-hmm. I think all bets are off at that point.
Oh, yeah. You can absolutely get a picture yeah. then. For sure.
I mean, I got one with Patty the Batty.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm jealous of that.
He signed my shirt.
Did he sign it Patty the Batty?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you wear it?
Nope. I got to get it framed. It's a Liverpool jersey.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
it's
you
a
go.
Liverpool jersey. So what I want to do is I want to get a picture of him, like, with a belt.
Yeah.
And then get the jersey framed and have the picture, like, next to the jersey.
Yeah, I feel like if there's a celebrity that's not attached to a team at all at a game, then, like, by all means. Like, you could come down to the flight deck. And you could just be like, oh, hey, Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
Hey, take a picture with you. It's totally fine.
You know what's funny? A couple of years ago at the Battle for Las Vegas softball game, which, by the way, is coming up in a couple of weeks.
It is.
Wayne Newton was there.
I know.
And
I was hanging out with Wayne
that's
Newton.
That's right.
Yeah, it was
yes.
awesome.
And his girlfriend, or I don't know if it's his wife, girlfriend, she was very, very nice. And Wayne was unbelievable. Like, it's the first time I'd ever met Wayne Newton.
Okay.
So I was in awe, of course. You know, I mean, he's Mr. Las Vegas. He's a big deal. And he was unbelievably nice. And she was unbelievable. And she said to me, she goes, do you want to take a picture with Wayne? And I said, no, it's okay.
You're like, no, I can't be around him.
No, like because in my mind, I'm like, it's kind of crossing.
No, come not at the baseball game.
Yeah, I know.
Your viewpoints on what you can and can't do as a media member are baffling to me. Like, you can't wear gold to a Golden Knights game. You believe you can't do that because it's not impartial. But, like, at a charity softball game.
I can't take a picture with Wayne Newton.
You're like, I can't get a selfie with Wayne Newton?
Yeah. Looking back, I should have done it.
That's so wrong.
I should have done it. Like, it's Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
So, like.
Did you bump fists
yes.
with Imagine
oh, yeah.
Dragons and all them?
No. I didn't see those guys that close to have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, no, I was literally hanging out in the dugout with Imagine Dragons and Wayne Newton. It was awesome.
Well, what's kind of funny is I don't know if someone mistook me for someone else, and that someone being Ryan Reeves, but he gave me beers. Like, he's like, here, have some beers. And they were his, like, beers. So I'm in the dugout drinking beers. Wayne Newton's, like, 3 feet away from me, not drinking Ryan Reeves beers. Which, by the way, they're pretty tasty beers. They were good.
Of course they are.
And, it was funny. And I'm like, okay, sure. You don't have to listen. If Ryan Reeves says, here, have a beer, you take the beer.
Well, you don't turn it down.
No, absolutely not.
Only an idiot would do that.
I don't know if he thought I was someone else. I don't know if he thought I was, like,
You were in the locker room enough. He probably knew.
That's true. In fact, I think I was the guy. Actually, I was the guy who got him to say the Lion in the Jungle quote.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if he remembered that. Like, I wonder if he recognized that.
Or maybe he just wanted you to try his beer.
That could be it, too. All right, this guy will go buy some now.
Okay, so you've turned down a selfie with Wayne Newton.
But I took a beer from Ryan Reeves.
But you took a beer from Ryan Reeves with a media credential on.
Yes.
Chapman, you cannot be trusted in any of this. Your opinions on what you can and cannot do are just wrong.
Yeah,
all the time.
I think it's backwards. Like I think like the selfie with Wayne Newton is probably okay, and the beer in the dugout probably not okay.
Yeah. Like you can't walk up to Connor Bedard and be like, "Yo, let's get a selfie." Can't do that.
Yeah,
can't do that. And
but I could walk up to Little John and ask him for one.
100%. Absolutely.
Although, I don't know, because Little John, he's kind of in that gray area.
No, he's not in gray area.
He's got the ring.
Yes, Little John.
And he's coaching. He's a coach.
He's okay. I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
But if you ran into Little John at a game, you can absolutely get a selfie with him.
Yeah.
And I'll go one step further for you, Chapman. You could get a selfie with Little John. And you could even ask him to put the ring on. You could do that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Just take your credential off.
That's true. Yeah.
Or you run into him as a fan one night. You take a night off. You go in there.
Yeah.
Take a picture with him. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're okay. Yeah, that would probably work.
Okay, so let's...
Now that we've killed like 8 minutes of this segment.
Transition off of why Chris Chapman doesn't understand the rules as a media member. Let's zoom in on the Four Nation face-off. Okay, over the weekend, the NHL released more information on the Four Nation face-off. It is that best-on-best, air quote, tournament that's going to be taking place next year, February 2025. It'll be February 2nd through the 20th, okay? So it's going to span about 2 weeks because there's going to be 2 days on the front end of it for practice with your individual team. And then it's going to be 7 games over 9 days split between Montreal and Boston. First 4 games in Montreal.
Yeah, can we boo that, by the way?
Why?
Because there's nothing on the West Coast.
Who cares?
Well, people on the West Coast care.
Every game is going to be at 5 o'clock. Who cares?
Yeah, but you could have a game on the West Coast or two. These things called airplanes exist.
You don't want to add more travel. Like, you're going, well, like, it's a 1-hour flight between Montreal and Boston.
They should have just had the whole thing here.
But then we'd have to work it.
I'm okay with that.
Eh.
It's a cool tournament.
Is it?
No.
Chapman,
no,
is... Okay, hold on. Stop. Let's talk about this objectively, okay? Number one, it's USA, Canada, Finland, Sweden. That's it. Those are the 4 teams.
Right.
So no Czechia, no Russia for obvious reasons. Like, it's not a, quote, best on best. It isn't. Like, it's as good as you can get right now.
Yeah.
But it's like Olympics light. It's not even Olympics light. It's like World Cup of Hockey light.
Yeah.
Okay? And so here's my biggest issue with it. You're in the middle of the season. And more so toward the back end of the season, like the middle, the final quarter of the year, where you're going to have Sidney Crosby out there playing extra games. You're going to have Connor McDavid out there playing extra games. Probably going to have Jack Eichel out there playing extra games. Like, I don't believe wholeheartedly you're going to get the same type of intensity that you're going to get
in the Olympics.
In the Olympics.
Right.
I don't believe you're even going to get the same level of intensity that you would get in a World Cup of hockey.
No.
I just don't believe that for this exhibition, because that's what it feels like more than anything else, that you're going to get to the level you need to get for hockey to be good.
I think you're
going to
get like all-star caliber. Like,
right. So is it going to be a best-on-best tournament, or is it going to be like a step or two above an all-star game?
It's basically going to be an exhibition, is what it is.
Is there an appetite for international play that's not intense?
No, there's not. Like, listen, if the USA wins this thing, great. But I don't think it's anything that you're like bumping your chest about. I mean, it's like the team that wins the All-Star game. It's like I couldn't even tell you who won the All-Star game this year.
I don't know.
I couldn't tell you who won it the year I went to it.
It was in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Austin Matthews.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right, because they changed the format.
It was the first time
he's ever won anything.
Austin Matthews has ever won anything. And it was an All-Star game, which makes sense.
I don't know who won it the year that it was here. I don't know who won. And I went to every game. Well, I went to the game, I should say, and I don't know who won.
Yeah, neither do I.
Like,
I literally can't think of it.
So that's the way I'm looking at this. Like, if Finland wins, is anyone really going to remember that Finland won?
So the final will be in Boston, what's the best case scenario? I mean, obviously it's USA, Canada.
Right.
Right? What if it's Finland, Sweden?
Sweden? Oh, man. And it very well could be with Canada's goal, with Canada's goalie situation.
Sure, 100%.
That's not a win let me think about how I want to say this. It would not be a win for television because I don't think there's a general appetite for Finland versus Sweden
right
on American or Canadian television markets. Now in Canada, in Finland and Sweden, I'm sure, sure the ratings would be fantastic.
No, I mean, this is designed, right, to have your final be
USA
versus Canada, USA.
Yeah.
Right? Like you get Canada, US on that Saturday. So the first Saturday of the tournament, you've got that in Montreal. You want a rematch of that Canada, US in Boston for the final.
Right.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Like, fine, get there. But I applaud the NHL for giving international hockey. I applaud the NHL for pushing in the direction of best-on-best hockey. I do. I just don't really care the closer we get. The more information, the seeing the schedule in real time, like for real, it made me realize how much I'm not quite looking forward to it because I just don't know that the intensity, the level you need to get to for international best-on-best hockey is going to even remotely be close. I just don't believe it.
Yeah. I
want to be wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be.
The other aspect of this, and I understand it's the initial, you know, foray into this.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was a world team. Like, I wish there was a fifth team.
I don't feel like you can do it with more than four.
And that's just it. But like
in the middle of the season like this, I don't think you can do it.
The problem is you're leaving some of the best players.
No David Pastrnak.
Yeah. No Leon Draisaitl.
No Andrei Kopitar.
Great observation.
Thank you, Leon.
You know, I mean, no.
It's going to feel
no
like
Nico Hischier.
It's going to feel like it's lacking something.
Yeah.
It just
because there are a lot of really good players from some of these smaller, you know, nations that don't quite have enough players to create their own team for something like this. But I mean, a team like that had just had the best of the rest would have been really cool.
They should have done like an NHL All-Star team, like every other NHL All-Star that's not a part of Canada, US, Finland,
plays in this.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool too.
It would be.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of making it up as we go along.
Well, so are they.
That's my point. So it'll be interesting to see like if my appetite for it increases as we get closer. But right now, I'm a little apprehensive about the Four Nations face-off. We'll take a break. Set up hour number two next on the VGK Insider Show. Perhaps a new tradition started before game one of the Stanley Cup Final. We'll talk about that. Breaking news, Jim Nill. GM of the year, 2 years in a row. Just one. Jim Gregory Award. So congratulations to Jim Nill for reaching the conference final 2 years in a row. Not an easy thing to do. Though Bill Zito and the Florida Panthers have reached the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row. So it is what it is. DJ Khaled. He's getting everybody set and ready to go ahead of game number two between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. Keep it right here. One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. All that coming up in hour number two of the VGK Insider Show.